Another edition of Quest Youth Radio, former and better known as Quest Community Vibration. Music like poetry has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we can comprehend by definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking you to pull back the curtain. Pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. And so thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community as we continue. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked. This morning's program will present our regular student host, Walter Pierce, and he continues with Women's History Month with his diamond of choice, Felicia Rashad. He will then, for definition segment, define the word conscious, and our show will finally conclude with our musical segment curtain featuring, better known, we all know her, Mary J. Blige. Now, without any further ado, I would like to ask Mr. Walter Pierce to join us.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. We're live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Good morning. And as he just said, it is time for my diamond of today. And before I go into my diamond, I want to read the introduction. Diamonds. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And Felicia Rashad, born June 19, 1948 in Houston, Texas. She's an American actress who first gained fame for her work in the television series The Cosby Show and later became the first African-American woman to win a Tony Award for Best Actress. She won the honor for her performance in the play A Raisin in the Sun. Felicia Rashad was the second of four children born to Andrew Arthur Allen, a dentist, and Vivian Ayers Allen, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated poet. Her elder brother, Andrew Arthur Tex Allen Jr., went on to become a jazz musician, and her sister, Debbie Allen, was a dancer, actress, and television producer and director. In 1970, she graduated from Howard University in Washington, D.C., with a degree in theater. Soon afterward, she found work with the Negro Ensemble Company in New York City. Felicia Rashad made her first appearance on Broadway in 1972 and had minor roles in the hit musical The Wiz and Dreamgirls before making the transition to television. In 1982, Rashad landed a regular role on the daytime soap opera, One Life to Live. 2 years later, comedian Bill Cosby chose her for the role of his wife, attorney Claire Huxtable, in the groundbreaking situation comedy, The Cosby Show, which ran from 1984 to 1992. After marrying sports broadcaster Ahmad Rashad, she began using his surname professionally. Her role as Claire, graceful but assertive, dignified but devoted, became a defining one for Rashad in earning her two Emmy Award nominations. She also played Cosby's wife in the series Cosby. During the 1990s and early 2000s, Rashad returned to the stage while continuing to work steadily on television. Her portrayal on the semi-mythical Aunt Esther in August Wilson's Gem of the Ocean in productions in Los Angeles and on Broadway won enthusiastic praise. In 2004, she starred as Lena Younger, a struggling African-American family in the 1950s, in Chicago's Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. In addition to earning a Tony Award for Best Actress, Rashad also received a Drama Desk Award. She later starred in a television adaptation of the play. 7, Rashad made her directorial debut at the helm of the Seattle Repertory Theater production of Gem of the Ocean. The following year, she again made history on Broadway when Tennessee Williams' Cat on the Hat Tinsroof opened its first all-black cast. With co-star James Earl Jones, Rashad, in the role of Big Mama, anchored the production, which set Williams' tale of a wealthy Southern planter's morally foundering family, after removed from its original Jim Crow era time frame to accommodate the African-American cast. In 2009, she portrayed a drug-addicted woman in the Broadway production of Tracy Letts, August, Osage County. In 2013, Rashad played the boss of a surgeon afflicted with a Jekyll and Hyde-like personality disorder in the TV series Do No Harm. She later had recurring roles in Empire and This Is Us. Her work in the later series earned her 2 Emmy nominations. She also was cast as a titles character teacher in the TV series David Makes Man, which still continues right now from 2019. So really, just to sum it up, Felicia Rashad has been in basically a lot of films, as you can see here. You know, when I see films, you know, I usually always see her for some reason. You know, she's always one of those actors that you could find in just a lot of different films that you watch, no matter the genre. You know, she plays her role so good. And her also, you know, just making cameo appearances, starring roles, just anything. I always just take notice of how good she plays her role. And, you know, and her, she's still 72 years old right now and still in continuing on the legacy. You know, and I know she's also a great role model and inspiration to our community as well, and could one day probably be at the same ranks as somebody like a Cicely Tyson, you know, who's been acting and been in a lot of different films ever since up to her passing at 90 years old up there. So, you know, if she continues, you know, I believe she could be up at those ranks. And again, you know, shout out to Felicia Rashad, and you're tuned in to 89.5 WSOU, and this is student host Walter Pierce bringing you Don.
You can win as long as you keep your head to the sky. Be optimistic. Matter.
win in the moment, who's the opponent? I own it. Get it when I want it, composition of the golden. Enroll the school of life, through the dice, do it like living in ambition on a mission impossible. Envision optimism through a prism that's optical. To see through obstacles and be remarkable. Living it for the infinite, intuit of the intimate, influenced by the sentiment, intuit to winning it, surrendered it to the sky, sent it in my eye. Living in the glory and the story of the warrior, Victoria, the more we love. From our poor we was to euphoria, kicking the door because we think notorious.
Live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are Quest Youth Radio.
Now, Walter,
one of the things I just want to say about Felicia Rashad or any actress or actor is the range, because you spoke about so many different parts that she's been able to play, demonstrating a level of versatility, and that has everything to do with the longevity of any actor. The ability to be able to change and be versatile is the key to success in acting. Without anything else coming out of my mouth, I'm turning it back to Mr. Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Yes, thank you for that, that part, you know. Just somebody, again, who was very important and very prominent to a lot of upcoming black actors in Hollywood who wanted to achieve their goals. But to my next segment of today, I want to switch on to definitions. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is a word that has been used on this show before, and it's something that is very important, especially how it ties together with, you know, Mr. Bay and how he preaches very heavily on mental health and the importance of it. And that is conscience. And conscience is an inner feeling or voice view that's acting as a guide to the rightness and wrongness of one's behavior. So say that relates to mental health and mental illness as well, you know, because the decisions you make sometimes really depends on your conscience. And even if your conscience, if you have a good conscience or a bad conscience, you still usually tend to follow what it tells you. And the reason a lot of people, you know, struggle with mental illness or have mental health issues is because of their conscience. And you know, with Mr. Bay, you know, he really pushes on, you know, make sure you get help and get people around you that are good, that are going to help you and improve your mental health. And if you get those types of people around you, that's how you develop a good conscience. But the reason you have a bad one is because most likely the people you're around or the things that you do, which helps develop this bad conscience and leads to mental health problems. And also, you know, this is something that is also very, if people are religious, something that is talked about a lot in religion as well, the importance of having a good conscience if you want to find the glory or the greater good. You know, it's just, it starts off with doing different habits, and really the people you let talk to you and that's in your circle. And if things that they say are benefiting you and helping you out mentally and making you feel safe and making you feel like you could trust these people and what they say, you will learn how to make better decisions, and you will learn that, you know, you don't have to overthink things. You could trust your good conscience in making great decisions once you develop certain habits. So, you know, also, I just want to also open up this segment so, you know, other people on the line right now, especially you, Mr. Bay, who preaches about mental health, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe that having a good conscience is, or having a bad conscience really relates to mental health? What do you believe? What do you think about that?
Well, from what I know, knowledgeably, I'm not a psychiatrist and I haven't studied the particular area, but the conscience is basically listening to your inner voice. And what has happened to a lot of people in our society is that they have had experiences that have put a dim light on their inner voice. And what I mean by that is they've had experiences in their life that really hurt them, and they weren't able to get the proper counseling. For instance, a traumatic situation that can occur through abuse or things of that nature. These things can be held inside, and they can cut off the inner voice of consciousness that knows right from wrong, being led to think that wrong could be right and right could be wrong. And then compounded with that, we live in a world of contradiction, you know, says look, but don't touch, you know, like, but don't really like. Oh, and when you're studying, just believe this and don't study any further. Right. So, you know, there are a lot of things that cloud our view and being able to have a clear inner voice. But I want to bring on Tamir Davis, our black librarian. And I love saying that.
Right.
Can you address Walter's question or comment?
10 seconds.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, of course, all the time.
All right, great. I was on mute for a minute. Now, I was just driving and I had pulled over. What was, just to recap, what was his topic, if you don't mind?
Well, we're talking about consciousness and mental illness and how the two
relate.
Oh, yeah,
okay, cool. Okay, consciousness and mental illness relates inextricably, because when you begin to look at the term or the wording of psychology, psych means mind and or spirit, right? Spirit and mind is one, and low G is study of. So the study of psychology deals with the mind, but then you have different parts of the mind. You have the conscious mind and you have the subconscious mind. And in the many instances, the subconscious mind pretty much deals with the unknown or the spiritual realm or your id, the ego, and all these different type of realities, so on and so forth. So basically, I think Walter talked on a lot of different points in terms of how one is socialized in society with folkways and mores. What a person should be doing right or what's considered wrong. And your conscience will basically let you know. And you don't necessarily, it's something that is a word or term in Sanskrit called suchness when it comes to conscience. And your spirit will tell you, and you feel it in your gut when you're doing something wrong. And in many instances, a lot of people who are doing the wrong thing may suffer from and feel that sense of guilt. And that weighs a lot of pressure on the body and a lot of pressure on the mind because guilt weighs heavy. And so to have a clean conscience is to actually come clean and continue to do the right thing. Like, I know in my heart of hearts, if I did something wrong, it's going to weigh on me really, really heavy. I can't sleep at night. If I said something wrong, like I made mention of last week, in some ancient societies, they were so inextricably connected with the mind, a collective conscious mind, whereby if somebody dreamt something wrong about somebody, they would wake up and apologize because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right. It would be something that would consider evil or wrong. And I think also words play a very important part of psychology, and how you say things and how you rear people and how you inform them makes a big difference. So I think kind words go over better than being mean. And you can be stern without being disrespectful. So I just think that when it comes to conscience, it's always good to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, it's good for your health.
Okay. I'm going to cut you right there and bring in Tanisha and see if she wants to chime in on the subject of conscience and that inner voice.
Yes. What everyone says is definitely on point, especially, like you said, we are physical and spiritual beings. And so, like you said, the consciousness is connected to, you know, the God being or that ultimate energy. So that's what flows through, you know, each and every one of us. And that's what gives us our inkling, like you said, to know what is right and what is wrong. But the mind is very powerful. And they know our mind is very powerful because, like you said, like if you're dealing with your conscious and your subconscious mind, and that's how they get us, because they do repetitive things like through television or like through the waves, because everything has a vibration. And they know within our subconscious mind that we pick up on those things that are spiritual, and that's why a lot of people, I guess, go crazy, because they don't know how to separate it or to be able, you know, I wouldn't say suppress it, but be able to understand it and take power over it. And through the mind, I guess that's why you say, like you said, through clarity, when you have a clear mind, you know who you are, you know what you're doing, and you're speaking to your spirit for your spirit to align you, and it's your intuition that guides you on what you should and shouldn't do. And it's very powerful. And they're, like for instance, with the CIA, how they used to do MK Ultra, and how they used to do, you know, mind manipulations on how to control people. So it's many studies, you know, throughout, you know, history of how they manipulated the mind, you know, to do negative things. And it's powerful. Just imagine if they put out a positive vibration on good things, or if you always see good things or always say good things. Yes, it can truly, you know, put a person in a higher vibration. And, you know, and that's what Egypt taught us. You know, they say if your heart weighs as light as a feather, you will go to the afterlife, because you're not you could think straight, you're not burdened with the things, you know, of the world. And I think that's what we have to remember, to be able to let ourselves go of those negative things and know that we do have power and speak life into our lives. And that's what it's about.
Okay. So that inner voice has a definitely direct alignment with your voice, with your behavior. Walter, any last words on the subject?
You know, I want to thank everybody in here for contributing to the segment. And just to close it all up, you know, if you want to really develop a good conscience, make sure you look at the people you're around, and make sure that the information you're taking in and the habits that you're doing are all positive, and that's going to help develop a good conscience so that you can make better decisions in life. So thank you.
Absolutely. Know your purpose. Music Lounge coming up is Quest Community Vibration.
Check 1, 2. I'm in the spot, no need to ask, you know I want to. Grab the MIC and spit something nice. Drop a cold jewel for brothers that be wanting ice. And for the ladies in the joint, you know I'm glad you came. Please excuse me if I know you but forgot your name. I got a bad memory, but you remember me. You ain't the first to say we had intimacy. But anyway, good to see you again. Party started at 9:30, hope to see you at 10. Can't talk to you now, cause I see you with him. But I'ma slide to the side and I'ma leave you a pen. You know what to do, just write your number. And we can hook up and have a private slumber. I love the way the body just moves and sounds. That's why I rubber always at the Music Lounge. Yeah,
sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. To the Music Lounge, and the host is the brother with the groovy sound. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the Music Lounge, and the host is the brother with the groovy sound.
Can I get a mic check 3, 4? Crowd jumping up, down like a seesaw. Place to be is where I'm at, y'all here too. Somebody said, oh, the broads is all near you. Cause I'm a magnet for beats that are classic. Shorties with bodies that are fantastic. The music's like an aphrodisiac. But other brothers on the mic, you can see me at. It ain't a thing better than a good soul clap. Whoever got the microphone, let me hold that. And I'ma show that I feel the rhythm and vibe. Those who drive by, park their cars and come inside. Cause I'm attractive, but not in a vain sense. Sort of like here tonight, I'm the main event. So if you like what you hear, embrace the jam. Everybody in the spot, just wave your hands. Yeah.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the Music Lounge. And the host is the brother with the groovy sound.
Yeah.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the Music Lounge. And the host is the brother with the groovy sound.
Can I get a mic check 5, 6? I'm like the news, always gotta bring the lies to inquiring, people inspiring. Feeling down, I'm here to make you feel alive again. Get your soul moving, this if it's a soul movement. Body's a shrine and you up a home improvement. Feel with me, relax back and chill with me. I put my feelings on this paper, so get real with me. Don't leave me hanging, 5 on the black side. I'm all about soul music and black pride. What else is it? I'm glad y'all came to visit. You're really in for a treat, cause the flow exquisite. So, or better yet, you gotta hear it. Not with your ears though, but your spirit. Just close your 2 eyes and open your third. Witness vibration spoken in word. Word, y'all.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the Music Lounge. And the host is the brother with the groovy sound. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the Music Lounge. And the host is the brother with the groovy sound. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the Music Lounge. And the host is the brother with the groovy sound. Is you down with that? I hope you down with that. Now is you down with that? I hope you down with that. Now is you down with that?
Welcome back. And now it's time for our next segment, A Change of Event, which is basically an interpretation of news as it affects communities from the alleyways of Newark. It is a report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. Change of Events reveals the interpretation of one event to another so that you, yeah, that's right, you, the Quest listenership, will know what's happening. Now, this morning, as I, you know, we were talking about mental health, but I'm going to do something a little bit different and inspire you to think a little bit different and be able to listen to that inner voice. And it's a story about thinking out of the box. Creative thinking, in fact. A small African village hundreds of years ago had a small business owner who owed a large sum of money to a loan shark. Now, the loan shark was very old, unattractive-looking guy that just so happened to fancy the business owner's daughter. So he decided to offer the businessman a deal that would completely wipe out the debt that he owed him. However, the catch was that he would only wipe out the debt if he could marry the businessman's daughter. Now, needless to say, the proposal was met with a look of disgust. The loan shark said that he would place two pebbles into a bag, one white and one black. Now, the daughter would then have to reach into the bag and pick out a pebble. Now, if it was black, the debt would be wiped, but the loan shark would then marry her. If it was white, the debt would be wiped, but the daughter wouldn't have to marry the loan shark. Standing on a pebble-strewn path in the businessman's garden, the loan shark bent over and picked up two pebbles. Whilst he was picking them up, the daughter noticed that he picked up two black pebbles and placed them into the bag. He then asked the daughter to reach into the bag and pick one. Now, the daughter naturally had three choices as to what she could have done. One, refuse to pick up a pebble from the bag. Two, take both pebbles out of the bag and expose the loan shark for cheating. Three, pick a pebble from the bag fully well knowing it was black and sacrifice herself for her father's freedom. She drew out a pebble from the bag, and before looking at it, accidentally dropped it into the midst of other pebbles. She said to the loan shark, "Oh, how clumsy of me. Never mind. Never mind if you look into the bag for me for the one that's left, and you'll be able to tell me which pebble I picked." Well, the pebble left in the bag is obviously black, and seeing as the loan shark didn't want to be exposed, he had to play along as if the pebble the daughter dropped was white and clear her father's debt. Now, the moral of this story is always, it's always possible to overcome a tough situation through out-of-the-box thinking and not give in to only the only options that you think you have to pick from. Now, I think that that is more than a lesson in mental health or listening to the inner voice of your individual character that teaches you definitely to think out of the box. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to the music titled, this song titled The Light.
Love has no limit, let's spin a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what does did to you. I ain't gon' start 'em cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some recognize your life, but they can't handle the glare.
You know I ain't the type to walk around with matching shirts. The relationship is effort, I will match your work. I wanna be the one to make you happiest and hurt you the most. They say the end is near, it's important that we're close to the most high. Regardless of what happened, on him let's rely. It's important we communicate, and soon the fate of this union took the right pitch. I never call you my to even my boo. There's so much in the name and so much more in you. You understand the union of woman and man. It's sex and a single is where they assuming it land. But that's fly by night for you in the sky right. During these cold star nights, moon, you my light. If heaven had a height, you would be that tall. Ghetto to coffee shop, you, I see that all. Let's stick to understanding and we won't fall. For better or worse times, I hope to me you call. So I pray every day more than anything friends will say as we begin to lay this foundation for a family. Love ain't simple, why can't it be anything worth having you work at annually? Granted, we've known each other for some time. It don't take a whole day to recognize sunshine. It's kind of fresh, you listen to more than hip-hop. And I can catch you in the mix from beauty to thrift shop. Plus you shit-pop when it's time to. Thinking you fresh, suggesting beats I should rhyme to. At times when I'm lost, I try to find you. You know to give me space when it's time to. My heart's dictionary defines you. It's love and happiness. Truthfully, it's hard trying to practice abstinence. The time we committed love, it was real good. Had to be for me to arrive, and it still feel good. I know the sex ain't gon' keep you, but as my equal, it's how I must treat you. As my reflection, the light, I'ma lead you. And whatever's right, I'ma feed you. Yo, I tell you the rest when I see you. See.
So now I want to bring in our other panelists that are on the line, starting with Tanisha. Have you had any experiences where you had to think outside of the box is the first question.
Oh, let me think. So many times. Yeah, yeah, definitely. that was really a great analogy or that really made you think. I guess it depends. Either way, I guess it would have worked out, you know, but besides the part of her giving up, that definitely was out of the question. But it was smart because either way she had a right, I guess, to take both of the pebbles out to expose him. But like you said, what consequence would it would have if she would have took that route? And so she was smart and strategic, and that was, and it makes you think. It's like, okay, like you said, you always have power. You always have power. It's just, like you said, it's in your mind and what you're thinking. And by you following your gut intuition, and that deals with the spiritual realm too, and I think that's very powerful to know who you are and know that things will always work out for you is the prime example of what you said. And it makes me, like I said, it makes me think about situations that I've been and I overcame, but I know it was through, you know, the power of God and me for those things to happen. And we always have to remember that throughout life, we do have the power to change things, and no one has the right to write our story. We are the ones that will write our story and tell it the correct way.
Okay. I like that. That's definitely outside of the box, and that's what we need. Let me get the big 1-7 up in here.
Happy birthday.
I thought I'd throw that
in there. Walter, what did you think about the story, and do you think that it related to mental health?
Yeah, I do believe it relates to mental health. You know, the way you was able to tie all of that in and really talks about the mind and, you know, and also feelings about, you know, a person's well-being is very important. And, you know, everybody should believe that that mental health is something that is very serious and is something that affects our community and our country very dearly, especially during these times. So anything that you do, is things that you might experience could really affect you mentally. And I believe it's now coming out, especially when you were talking about it, but especially today where it's being more talked about and it's being taken more serious. So, you know, I really did like your segment on what you did on Change of Events.
Okay. All right. The big 1-7 has spoken.
Right.
He promised to think outside the box. All right. As I kid with you, you know, joke with you. But let's get Tamir Rice thinking outside. Tamir Rice, what am I thinking? Yeah, well, you know where I'm thinking when I say that name. But Tamir Davis, the Black Librarian, can we get you to chime in on thinking outside of the box? Okay. So as always, we're going to continue musically, right, with a tune titled Tell Me What to Do.
Hello, hello, hello. My phone was on mute.
There you go. All right. Tamir Davis, the Black Librarian. Okay. So,
yeah, my phone was on mute. So, yeah. I think it's very important to think critically. It's always important to have critical thinking skills like an engineer in terms of the input, throughput, output. It's always good to predict and project what's going to take place next and think as a manager in any situations, even if it's something small as paying your rent. It's good to pay it on time. It's always good to have time management. I think a lot of people let things build up and they don't think ahead, and that's what also gives a mental breakdown as well. If you use deductive reasoning and deal with things as priorities, to have a schedule, to have a plan, to have things in place, it's easier to complete your task. You can't get mad at the landlord because you decided not to pay rent or you didn't actually equip yourself not to do so. This is outside of a COVID situation. It's always good to make sure everything is lined up, everything is in play, time management, take notes, get a schedule book, get a yearly planner, have that in place. That can help alleviate a lot of health issues, and then you start realizing what you can do and what you can't do. It's always important to tell people, you know what, I really would like to do that task, but I can't because I have all these other things lined up in front of me. I try to get back to you, and sometimes it's good to tell people I just can't do it because my plate is too full. When you try to please everybody at the same time, that becomes a issue too. Not everybody's going to accept everything about you. Not everybody's going to like you for what you're trying to do. But it's always good to keep your priorities, and finish tasks as they're needed.
Okay. Now I want you to transition and talk about the matrilineal relationship of men and women and our family structure.
Wait, no problem.
Yeah.
So what happens is there's societies that have two different types of structures, whether it's a matrilineal or matriarch type system, a system that's ruled or headed by a woman, and a patriarch type system, a system that's ruled and headed by men. Those are two different type systems. For the most part, in many traditional societies, you may have a system or spiritual system that's governed by a female energy, and they respect that particular female energy. In this particular society, In America, things have been changing over the years with the Me Too movement. Things have been changing over the years in terms of the transition of woman power since the suffrage movement during the early 1900s. In terms of talking about the suffrage movement, you're talking about Susan B. Anthony. You talk about Elizabeth Catlett. You're talking about people, very prominent people such as Sojourner Truth, and prominent people today. We just had recently a newly elected woman vice president in this country. And if you look at Mr. President Biden's whole cabinet, a lot of he's looking at women, and women are coming in and they're taking leadership roles, so on and so forth and stuff like that. I think if we look at the essence of women and the essence of power, women being able to micromanage in a way that's amenable, women being able to manage households and so on and so forth, as unfortunately in this country, traditionally, a lot of African-Americans who were moving up from the South up North was not able to receive jobs due to the ill of racism. A lot of females received more jobs, but the site females receiving jobs and female African-American receiving jobs, they didn't receive the same equal pay as men. Things changed over the years. So in the 60s, there was women liberation movements and so on and so forth to actually structure a much more just society. Is it completely just despite the Me Too movement? I would say no. We look at recent allegations of sexual harassment and men feeling as if they have they're entitled to disrespect women or to give them sexual advances in this type of society. That's not fair. And it's unfortunate that many men feel as if they're entitled to do that type of stuff to women. But I think things are changing. When I think of women, I think of my mother. I think of my grandmother because I grew up in a matrilineal system because my father wasn't in the home. But a lot of brothers who were well-skilled and equipped with education and knowledge actually influenced me and gave me that sense of balance with the energy and the lessons and the wisdom that my grandmother gave me, the wisdom that my mother gave me over the years, because my mother was very smart, you know. So I respect the matrilineal energy. I respect a matriarch-type society. I have no problem with women ruling, you know, because
okay, so
we had women.
That takes me to my next question, because we're running out of time, and Walter has another segment. But quickly, talk about the importance of a rites of passage for both men and women. And because we kind of talked about this, you know, before the show came on. But is a rite of passage very important for our young men and our young women in our society?
Yeah, it's very important. Yeah, it's very important. See, the thing that helped build a structure and helped build cultural continuity was to have rites of passage. Like in America, young men would go to the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. In traditional societies, to actually transition from adolescent years into adulthood, there were some rites of passage that one had to undergo to transition to the next realm. That created an aesthetic line of difference in the society, whereby you had to respect the culture, you had to respect the elders, and you had to be groomed to make sure the cultural continuity was in place. Unfortunately, in today's society, that cultural continuity is not in the same vein, whereby a lot of the parents are letting their young ones, their adolescents, and their children get away with stuff thinking it's cute. And when they go out into the real world, some of them go to jail because they got false promises and false hope. I think it's important as part of the rites of passage, like to structure your child to say, well, you're going to eventually have to pay rent as a young man or a young woman. So staying in here, I want to give you some responsibility so that when you go out in the real world, this would not be foreign to you. A lot of young men who leave their parents' households, they usually go and move in with a woman and wasn't properly transitioned to be able to understand the importance of marriage, to understand the importance of, you know, paying bills and helping out, so on and so forth. That's why a lot of relationships don't work, because they haven't gone through the rites of passage and had that information passed down to the male and female.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you right there. I'm going to have to stop you right there.
Right. I keep my mouth shut. No problem, no problem, no problem.
No, no, but we will revisit this particular topic once. Right now, I'm going to introduce you to Mary J. Blige. No more drama. Walter. Take it away, Walt.
Yes, and welcome back, everybody. And again, Mary J. Blige is my current for today. And Blige's childhood was divided between Savannah, Georgia, and a housing project in Yonkers, New York. Her early musical influences included singing in a Pentecostal church and listening to her mother's collection of soul records. When a recording of a 17-year-old Blige singing Anita Baker's Caught Up in the Rapture, made in a karaoke booth in a local shopping mall, came to the attention of Uptown Records in 1988, the rhythm and blues label put Blige, who has dropped out of high school, under contract. She sang backup for various artists until the 1992 of her released solo album, What the 411, produced primarily by Sean Puffy Combs, Diddy. That album revealed the pain of Blige's childhood while presenting a unique sound that mixed classic soul with hip-hop and urban contemporary rhythm and blues, redefining soul music and influencing a generation of artists. Blige's glamorous but street-tough image softened over time. However, her music remained personal, emotional, and spiritual. Among Blige's host of hit singles were Be Without You, Not Gonna Cry, and Take Me As I Am. Her hit albums include Share My World and Growing Pains, which have both reached number one on the Billboard charts. In No More Drama, Blige's fifth album, which presented an artist who is happy with the woman she has become. Her 2016 release, Reflections, provided a retrospective of her work. Blige's 2008 tour with Jay-Z made her one of hip-hop's top grossing live acts. In the following year, she won a Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Rhythm and Blues Album. Her ninth total career Grammy for Growing Pains, Stronger With Each Tear, was criticized for its over-reliance on guest vocalists and auto-tune technology. But Blige rebounded in convincing fashion with My Life, Part 2, The Journey Continues, Act 1, which plays her strengths, balancing soulful ballads with infectious dance tunes that recalled her earliest hits. An album of Christmas standards, A Merry Christmas, appeared in 2013. The following year, she released the soundtrack for the comedy Think Like a Man 2 and London Sessions, the latter of which she Smith, Naughty Boy, and the duo Disclosure. The critically acclaimed Strength of a Woman in 2017 was inspired by Blige's breakup with her husband and manager, Kendu Isaacs.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to cut it there so we can actually listen to the sounds of Mary J. Blige and wrap up our show. That's
yeah. Let's take them back.
Okay, Walter, close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. We're live on 89.5 from the campus of City Hall in South Orange. My name is Walter Pierce, student host, and our motto is Quest Youth Radio is the best youth
radio.
the best youth radio.
There you go, Val. Thank you.
You was coming home to me. Well, damn, I never heard the keys or felt your taps in all your sleeves.
But I was
good you had my mind,
and I
let you come back every time.
You would
violate and cross the line,
and you
knew that I would be the type to always wait so patiently, thinking you was coming home to me. Well, damn, I never heard the keys.